want to welcome everybody tonight to the Fitzgerald Theater here for a very special show, and we want to greet all the listeners that are listening all over the world who are listening to this broadcast online. And if you're new to The Current, we are a non-commercial, member-supported music radio station that's based here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we are so proud of our music scene here in Minneapolis, and more excited to have a band from Minnesota that's been together for a long time, that has been making quality records for years and years. And I just can't think of any other band that I would rather be sitting up here on a tall chair talking to other than you guys. Let's hear it for the Jayhawks. I'll talk. I was just gonna say, Gear, how about if you introduce who's in the band? Let's just have a little a moment where we can savor each and every member up here on the stage. Savor? Yeah.
I'm Gary Louris.
Hi, Gary.
Thank you.
I'm not, thank you very much.
Mark Perlman.
Thank you. Yeah.
Tim O'Regan.
Mark Olson.
Karen Gratberg.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Ready?
Whispers all things will be silence.
my heart, I can give it to you. My soul, I can make it with you. It's all I can do, my soul.
Where you come stay.
swept out in the ashes. What you ask for, don't be shy. You should hide your colors. You should hide your colors. You should hide. Every day rolling by you.
Listening to the Jayhawks live here from the Fitzgerald Theater, and those songs are all from the forthcoming Mockingbird Time, which is going to be in stores on September 20th. It's your 8th studio album, or did you stop counting after 5?
Yeah, it's like Chicago. You know, Chicago 1, 2, 3. They got up to like 20-something.
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, we're number 8, although I think we should have had about 20, but there's a lot of waiting in the Jayhawks.
Tell me a little bit about making this record. What was different? What was exciting for you?
Well, this time we decided that we were going to go ahead and sing the songs first, which is might be a little bit crazy to the people in the audience. They think you go make a record, you go in and sing the songs. But normally you put everything down, the drums, the bass, the guitar, and everything, and then you sing after a long process. But we thought, let's just sing the songs first, and then we'll put everything down. So that's what was different. We sang the songs first this time.
And who did you work with in the record?
Well, we worked with ourselves.
Just yourselves.
Which is very bizarre. I think we've realized, you know, we've done it enough, and we've definitely been schooled by some of the very best, you know, whether it's George Tukulis, Brian Paulson, Bob Ezrin, Ethan Johns, and... many others, but you know, we've made our own records, and we always had a hand in it. And really, Mary, all you need is a really good drummer,
which you've got.
And you need a really good engineer, and otherwise, just let the band play.
And with this record, writing this record, I'm always curious: when you're going into the studio, do you go back and listen to your older records?
On this record, what happened was we got together and we did a number of shows together prior to making it. The other part of this record was we had kind of been playing over the course of the last 3 or 4 years in different sort of aggregations. But we did relearn the first record because people wanted it came out and we're going to do this show. We're going to play a bunch of songs off the first record. And what happened was we played everything 3 times faster than we'd played in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. So we applied that on some of these songs. By doing the first record over again, we actually didn't just listen. We went back and we replayed old material. And I think that helped with the record.
Yeah. No, and were you just playing the songs fast so that you could get home early?
Back then, we were playing the songs fast because we were so excited to be in a band.
And this record, we definitely had a schedule because Mark was in the middle. He was gracious enough to, you know, he was in the middle of, he had his own solo record, Many mm-hmm. Colored Kite, and he was in the middle of okay, let's hear it.
Yeah.
And so we had limited amount of time, and like any musician or any procrastinator, you know, the more time you have, the more the project expands. So I think by having some kind of time limit, it made us just focus more.
And because you're a band that has, I mean, all the members of this band have put out pretty amazing records on their own, Mark, Tim, Karen.
Not yet.
Karen
Not yet.
Should. Karen uh-huh. has a lot of amazing songs.
I'm doing some momming, but it's coming soon, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing to think that you're really having five songwriters in your band, essentially. How does that manifest itself as far as do you write democratically, or is it just a huge dictatorship with you, Gary?
What do you call it when there's two dictators? I can't remember. Duo dictatorship. No, we try to, but, you know, we started off as a partnership, really, Mark and I, as a songwriting duo, and that's really how we functioned on this record. I mean, to the detriment of maybe some of the other members, but I think hopefully as we progress, people will be able to express themselves because everybody in this band is there's no one role player, you know. Everybody has got ideas and are great songwriters in their own right. So hopefully we'll evolve. But this is kind of and it's not, I hate to say the phoenix rising, but you know we're becoming a band again.
And how many songs did you guys actually record?
I don't know, probably about 16, 17 songs, something like that. Not like, there were times where we used to record, I don't know, crazy amounts of songs, but Mark was very, you know, Mark Olson was very adamant. He said, let's learn less songs in a more efficient way. And so we found some happy medium there.
Those days are gone, people going into a studio and recording 20 songs, because you don't have the time anymore to do that, so. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing it in your basement or your garage, which you can, right. Exactly. But sometimes less is more, you know, and you can just, people pile on and they write 15, 20 songs, and sometimes that takes away from it, from the record as an album. Whether people listen to records as albums anymore, I don't know. But we still think of records as albums.
I think a lot of people still do. And do you find that maybe even inadvertently that you have a theme in this record with the songs? They both just stay away from the mic.
There's always a lot of elements, you know, like water. There's a lot of water. I'm a Pisces. I don't really believe in that stuff that much. But there's a lot of desert. A lot of desert and a lot of water. It seems like a lot of
colors,
extremes.
Yeah.
What was that, Karen?
Colors.
Colors.
There's blue, there's, you know, green,
it's
red.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
It's a pretty color.
Gary had his colors done. He's in autumn.
Anybody else have any thoughts on the thematic?
I think the songs are pretty straightforward. There isn't a lot of, like, stuff that's too out there lyrically. It's mostly about people's feelings towards life and the relationships and people in it. And I think that is pretty much what they're all about.
Well, let's get you to play a couple of more songs from the forthcoming Mockingbird Time. Everybody, it's the Jayhawks live here at the Fitz.
Left behind.
We have a little tuning thing to do here.
I should note that I match my boots to the band. And when I had John Waters here, I had silver go-go boots, so it only seemed fitting that I would have pulled out my nice vintage cowboy boots for the Jayhawks. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, and the right one, and of course this is radio, so what people aren't knowing is that you just shined my shoes just now, which is pretty amazing. But those who are watching online.
A little something called High Water Blues, folks.
Cage in the yard.
These songs are still kind of new to us. So we're just kinda, we had a European tour, and we're kind of learning them as we go along. But
this next song is called Gilder Annie.
Listening to the Jayhawks live here from the Fitzgerald Theater on 89.3 The Current, and I'm just wondering if, Mark, if you were to put the Jayhawks together today, and you didn't know all these guys up here, but you were forced to take out an ad in like a music magazine, like a musician's wanted kind of thing, what would you be looking for and ask for?
Well, if I was forced to do that today, I couldn't think of any better personality types to write about, but I'll just going to be brutally honest with you. I think that the future of music is away from the big production and more in lines with more the current Facebooks and things like this, and people playing in smaller venues. I think we're lucky because we had records come out and were pushed by big companies, and now we get to play in front of a lot of people. Younger bands aren't going to get that because there isn't like a stream of money coming in from CD sales. So if I was to put the ad in, I would definitely say flute, bongo, acoustic guitar, and sitar.
That's pretty close to what you got. So it seems that you guys have done a couple of one-off shows. I know you're doing sort of a mini Minnesota tour that you're playing. Actually, I was looking here. You're going to be in Mankato.
Woo! Yeah.
We're not supposed to mention anything else.
And why are you guys huge in Spain?
Well, I mean, huge is a relative term. We have a lot of friends there. I mean, I think part of it is, to make a long story short, we went over there in 2000. We had this wonderful person named Mark Picagnol, who is a promoter guy. I don't know, what would you call him? Promotion? Publicist. And there was a run with it, Mark said. And then there is a wonderful magazine called Mondo Sonora. And they just decided they loved us, and they decided to sponsor us. So we did a whole tour of the entire country, all shows free, which was brilliant. So everybody, you know, came, and there were huge crowds, and next time they're very loyal. And it's a kind of a country, I think George Orwell said it best when he said, you ask for a Spaniard for a cigarette, and he says, take the whole pack. He wants the whole, he insists, and that's really the Spanish way. They're very loyal and very sweet, and so, I don't know. We kind of lucked out. It's a beautiful country. I live there part of the time, and beautiful people.
Do you still consider yourself a Minnesota band?
Yes.
There you go. Well, how many people were born? I was not born here. Mark, you were born here. Karen was born here. And Mark Perlman were born here. So 3 out of 5 ain't bad. National Falls, St. Louis Park, and St. Louis Park for you too, right? Yeah. So yes.
St. Louis Park getting a little love, yeah.
We're from Minneapolis.
Well, and I mean, I don't know what that's how you define that anymore. I mean, obviously you guys have lived all over the place and been, you know, out of town, but what does it mean, do you think, still to be a Minnesota band?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because it used to be you're from where Prince is from, or The Replacements, or now it's like, oh, you're from where the biggest mall in the world is. You know, that's kind of how we're defined, but I don't think people think about, I think we're thought of more as an American band, you know, because of our sound or something. Seems like wide open to people over there, because everything is a little tighter. I don't know, anybody else? Have any thoughts on that?
Well, probably because we all lived here together, and this is where we learned how to be a band as far as like doing gigs and hanging out at the local bars and going to the Viking, the Uptown, and
the Five Corners, the
CC Club. CC Club,
7th Street Entry.
And then getting to the point where, okay, so we play music every night, so we can't hang out in those places anymore.
So we had to go out of town.
What makes it fun for you to still be playing now, rock and roll?
Well, personally, I like to travel. I like getting around to different places because you get really outside of life and you think thoughts that you would never think, and time moves really fast. You experience more when you're on tour in a week than you do in a couple months at home. But then that's sort of relative, because at home you have deeper relationships with people. That's the one thing people don't understand about a touring band, is that you go around the world and you say, hey, how you doing? Great show. And you don't really get very deep sometimes. Sometimes you do, but you have to work at that.
Yeah, you definitely sacrifice things, you know, because yeah, it's hard to join a health club or anything because they're like, well, I'm going to be gone for, you know, 3 months or whatever. So you can't do something. But traveling is fantastic, and we get to do, we get to work at what we love, and we feel very lucky. I think we feel luckier now than we did probably in 1994 when we maybe took it more for granted.
All right, Gary, before you guys launch into some more songs, would you rather eat lasagna off the floor of the 7th Street entry?
As long as it's not the boxer and brief question.
Which or is not... be beaten with a frozen garden hose.
I'd rather eat a garden hose off the floor of the 7th Street entry. I don't know. This is a tough one.
All right, we're going to get him to play some songs that you are probably very familiar with. Again, it's the Jayhawks on 89.3 The Current here, live at the Fitz, everybody.
Thank you.
from the Rainy Day Music record.
Thank you.
Try not to screw it up, Tim. I'll try not to screw it up. It's called Tampa to Tulsa.
But stock quotes on the GI's radio. It's giving me nothing but false hope. I'm putting it all on the line. Tampa to Tulsa.
This song's dedicated to our keyboard player, Karen Grotberg. We entitled it Red. That was her nickname, and it's called Red Song.
That's what we had.
And everything
that
goes around.
Eventually. We're going to work a lot of songs into our set, but we're going to do the ones we know right now. Well, let me do that. I thought I knew it.
Listening to the Jayhawks live here on 89.3 The Current. And again, I want to thank our sponsor for the night, the Lowry, the new eatery in Uptown from the Blue Plate Restaurant Group. Want to thank you, the members, because you truly make this station happen. And I want to thank Mark, Tim, Gary, Mark, and Karen, the Jayhawks, everybody. Let's hear it again. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all for coming out. Have a great night.